Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
everyone. That was The Words You Cannot Say, a poem turned to song written by Jay Hatter. And the singer and the person who wrote the music is Shout Evenshai, another poet from allpoetry.com, where we all hang out and share poetry together. You are listening to A Team of Voices, sponsored by the poet A.P. Taylor. And this is Deborah Lee, your hostess for tonight. And we are here every night of the week, just about. Different hosts, different topics, different times. You can follow the show times if you are in the chat room. If you're a member of a team of, allpoetry.com. If you join or are a member, just look us up under the group tabs. And again, it's A Team of Voices. And I'll meet you at the door. In the chat room, we share the links to the poems that we use on the show so that you can follow along and comment if you're interested. We have poets who call in and participate with us. We have poets who make recordings and participate that way. And we have some that write poems and then ask for a reader. No one's required to write, but you can as much as you'd like. Each show topic starts with the date of the show, If you know you have a night you might be available, click on that date and you can see what the prompt is. And if it tickles your muse, show us what you got. We'd look forward to hearing from you. And anyone who participates just has to send an email permission saying that it's okay to have their poem on the radio. And on that note, let's get tonight's show started for All Hallows Eve here, where I put a whole bunch of really cool dark art on the board and poet was asked to choose a piece of art to inspire them and then write a poem to share with us. I am here with my big brother and the writer of that song we just listened to, Jay Hatter. Hey, Hatter, glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here. Hi, Deb.
Hey. And Hatter is less than a point. He's 1 point away from kicking my butt in fantasy football this week. So I'm figuring I'm done for. And let's see, right behind Hatter is none other than last night's birthday boy, Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne, celebrating your birthday
hey.
All week?
I am celebrating for a little bit. I'm glad you're ahead right now. I hope you stay ahead, but I'm cheering for you.
Well, we got another half a game left, so he only needs to catch it
pretty
once
rough.
And I'm done. So I believe he just did.
Yes. Oh, man.
So,
oh, that's where it goes. I thought I was catching.
Yeah, no, I was doing pretty good at the beginning. It came down to me with a tight end last night and him with a tight end tonight. But
it
wasn't a big enough gap, so I kind of figured that he'd kick my butt. But such is life.
Oh,
well. Yeah. I'm having fun. I don't care. I get to hang out with all you guys.
Man.
No, it wasn't him.
No.
What was that?
I said it was a fight. We were down to two players and one less than 1 point. So
I was watching. That's it. Close to another thing.
I'm definitely going to be beat because he needs like 1.25 or something ridiculous like that. And like I said, all he has to do is catch it one more time. But let's also say hello to Dave. Hello, David, Mr. D.W. Prophet. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, Deb. I'm looking forward to the show.
Me too. Glad you're here.
And
let's see. I just had to double check something because there was one I couldn't use. All right. That's a shame. Sorry, got distracted for a minute. So how about we get this show on the road, and let me go grab a poem off the board, and here's something that I rarely get the opportunity to do because of one person's schedule or another, so let's start tonight with Heavenly Angels poem, and I will read for her. If I can just find the chat wall. There it is. Okay. So, you guys go ahead and click on Angels poem, and we will start the show.
Got it. Yep,
and it is a multiple award-winning poem that she's sharing. And this is called Sasha, the Friendly Witch by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. High above the birch trees, as the moon is transforming into a bright, full, silvery slate, Sasha sits upon her broom with Duck, her cat, and Squiggle, her crow. Tonight is All Hallows Eve, the night when ghosts, goblins, and ghouls slither from tombs in reunion with the living. Witches and warlocks meet in a clamoring hub of cackling deliberations, readying chants and hocus pocus to scare the village children. This is the time of year they've been dreaming of. Sasha is quite different, though. She would like to cleanse the delusion the villagers are under, that all witches are evil. Sasha is a good witch, like Gilda in The Wizard of Oz. While this night can be scary, if you look just beyond the curvature of the moon, you'll catch a glimpse of Sasha smiling in friendly glow. Happy Halloween. Oh, that was sweet. That was a cool way to start. Start off with a flip side of all the darkness for the night, huh? And I like I like the thought of if you look just over the curb, you'll see her up there smiling all friendly. Very cool piece. Very cool. I like the descriptions. And I had to stop myself from giggling. Sits upon her broom with Duck, her cat. So that's an interesting name for a kitty, you know. Duck. Hello, Duck. But anyway, very, very cool. Always an honor to be her reader and a fun way, like I said, to start the show. Thank you, Angel. And Hatter, what you think?
Oh, yeah, Duck the Cat. That was it. I had to giggle about that, too. She's our hallmark poet. You know, she does so good at any genre. This isn't the criticism at all, but she tries to go dark, but she just can't go real dark. She's the hallmark dark. How to put it that way. I like the way she described it. She's a good witch, like Glinda, the Wizard of Oz. Very good. Thank you, Angel.
Yeah, comparison. And Wayne, what do you think?
Well, I said Sasha's a wonderful witch, if there ever was one. I don't see a duck anywhere. Is it on a broom, or did the good witch have duck soup for dinner? Oh, well, never mind. Duck is the cat. Who's on first? This is a kind of hard Halloween poem. Oh, no. What is the world coming to? I just burned a witch at the stake, and now I'm supposed to hug one? Although she does have a friendly smile. It's a good poem here. I love the whole lot. Good job there, Heavenly.
Awesome comment. And David?
I really like this. Sasha can come to my house any time of the year. It doesn't have to be Halloween. This is really, really cute. I really like the names of her pets, Duck and Squiggle. That was cute. Really fun. I agree with you, Deb. It's a nice way to start the show off and the season. You know, Halloween's one of my favorite holidays. It always has been. I suppose that's leftovers from when I was a kid. I don't know, but it's a holiday that, you know, is not all bound up in tradition or gobbledygook from religions and stuff. It is what it is, and I think it's fun. You know, and our colors, orange and black, it's always cool. I remember in school when I was in grade school, we used to do these cutout orange pumpkins out of construction paper, and then decorate the classroom with stuff. And I always liked doing that stuff. I don't know. But this was really a neat poem. I really like the way Angel writes. She's really a fun poet, and it's always fun to hear her read or have someone else read her stuff and listen to it. It's great. So, you know, I give her a Dave's gold star for this one.
Cool comment. Yeah, right after making the Halloween pumpkins, we go into the, November, and we make the hand-shaped turkeys for Thanksgiving. At least that's what we did out here.
They did?
Fun projects. Cool. Yeah.
It's also Heavenly's anniversary for being 18 on the site, 18 years. She's been on the site 18 years this week.
Wow.
I forgot about that. I bookmarked her contest. Hopefully it hasn't closed out yet. I'm taking a peek now. She still has 21 spots left, but she's got a big contest going for her 18th anniversary. I'm glad you brought that up, Wayne.
Wow.
Though we don't use actually do so, I'm sticking the link to that contest on the board just because, I mean, 18 years is a long time. So if any of you want to enter celebration contest, go ahead and click on there and bookmark it.
All right.
Awesome. Awesome. Congrats, Angel. All right. Let me grab another poem. And let's see. Do I have any? There's a few that need readers. Okay. Let me grab Wayne's poem and put it on the board. And we can step from the sweetness into the darkness. At least I think so. Or we'll be laughing. Okay, that's it. There you go. Well, if everyone clicks on his link, I will push play. Just shout when you're ready.
Yep, I got it.
Ready.
Quick today. All right, here we go.
This is called Red Indian. Skirted zombie, long since been dead. She lives her life with color red. Deep, dark red is color of hair. It's also color of her snare. She picks red on the roulette wheel. There's blood on her hands from last kill. Cannot see if she holds her eyes. Blood does not drip after it dries. She drinks their pineapple and rum, trying to learn how to play drum, but still has need to kill someone. At least now she can kill with rhythm. Looks so hot with fishnet stockings. Her handmade hat is sun blocking. Gambling, drumming, drinking, killing. Might make it home if God willing. Can't complain about her red style. I sure don't like her wicked smile. She will leave after Halloween. Then I will look for the color green. In.
Whoa, that was a fun one. Scarlet Zombie. Cool Scarlet Zombie. Long since been dead, she lives her life with color red. Deep dark red is color of hair. It's also the color of her snare, which is really cool. Like, you can see the drum there. And I was looking, she's sitting next to the roulette wheel. Very, very cool. She drinks down pineapple and rum, trying to learn how to play the drum. You know, you're picturing her sitting there, and she's a little tipsy from her pineapple and rum, and she's banging on that drum, and I bet you know, if somebody can't play it, it as my grandma would call it, what is that racket? And it would be like, you know, could cause a real headache there. And I like her, she looks so high with her fishnet stockings. Now, I'm going to beg to differ there because I'm sorry. She's a zombie. If you grabbed her by the leg, her skin would probably come off. So, like,
she's a
zombie. But I you can't complain about her red style, but I sure don't like her wicked smile. This was fun, Wayne.
Thank you.
You know, it's cool. I don't read them ahead of time, so I had no idea that Angels was the flip side. You know, she was the good witch. And then we went, I always know that there's a 50-50 chance that it could be humor, but I didn't know for sure. So we had a sweet one and we have a funny one. So, I mean, that was really cool. But like I said, very fun. David, what do you think?
Oh, I thought this was great. I really did. I like the way Wayne took it like this. When I saw this picture, I thought she must be sitting in front of a drum set, you know. And, but I wasn't sure. I didn't really study it that much. You know, I red eyes and all of the red that's in there. I think it was cool that Wayne emphasized that. She picks red on the roulette wheel, wears blood on her hands from last kill. The rhyming and the meter in this poem is really well done. And it's got a fun storyline to it. You know, looks so hot with fishnet stockings. Well, maybe, you know, maybe she's a sexy zombie. Who knows, you know. She might not be falling apart, but yeah. But anyway, yeah, it was a fun poem, Wayne. You did good on it, and I liked it a lot. It was perfect for Halloween.
Thank you there, Dave. Appreciate that.
Yeah, you bet.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, can you comment for Wayne before you read yours?
Yeah, the fishnet stocking stanza, the hat fun blocking, gambling, drumming, drinking, killing. Yeah, it's a joke. Yeah, I was the same way when we first started. I didn't look at the picture hard enough. But after the snare, I look back up, and of course, playing drums. She looks like she's happy playing drums.
So that's, at least you can kill that with rhythm. I thought that was the best line. At least now she can kill with rhythm.
History of the band. Yeah. Getting the band back together, man.
The
zombie band. Great comment. All right. And yours is on the board. Hey, Hatter, so show us.
Okay. It's called From a Gathering of Rhyme. And he's holding something, crystal ball or something. It goes like this. Revered is he that can only be the keeper of things to come, wishing to hear as it draws near, watching it come undone. To hold the thought that's surely caught from a gathering of rhyme, to fit in my hand, you must understand, it dies a little each time. Tethered to those that write in prose, it whispers the curse times two, thinking of things that others might bring, knowing it's really you. The ways that it plans to hold your hand, it keeps you alive inside, tied to the lines that tried to rhyme, but slowly learn to die. I hold the curse that makes it worse of the games that others will play. Counting the dawns, that's never too long, whispering the words you cannot say. See what I did there?
I did. Yeah, that'll be part of my comment. But I liked it, the tethered to those that write in prose, it whispers the curse times two. Thinking of things that others might bring, knowing it's really you. I think that I really like that couplet. And then, of course, the end. I like when you do that nod there. I hold the curse that makes it worse, the game that others will play. Counting the dawns, it's never too long, whispering the word you cannot say. And of course, that's everyone. That's the name of the song that we hear at the beginning of the shows. But for those who do not know, it is also the name of Hatter's book, The Words You Cannot Say, and his book of poems. And you can find that on his profile page and pick it up. It's a great book, just saying. And great share, Hatter.
Thank you.
Dave, what do you think?
Oh, I thought this was really, really nice. I like the storyline in it a lot. And, of course, the ever-present and perfection of Hatter's rhyme and meter is perfect. I've never heard it not perfect, but, you know, I've listened to Hatter's work for a long time now. And, you know, he hasn't written a bad poem as far as I'm concerned. Maybe he thinks so, but I don't. And this was no different. I thought it was really good. I always look forward to hearing him read, and this was a fun one. Thanks,
thank you, Dave. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah.
Great comment, David. And Wayne, what do you think?
I said, this is a wonderful point for us who rhyme. I do believe that tender to those who write in prose, it whispers to curse times too. Curse times too. That's what I've been saying for years. I don't want to care much about the prose myself, but I hold the curse that makes it worse in the game that others will play. I like that tells another good line. And, you know, I love reading anything that's got a good rhyme. And Heather's internal rhyme is about the best there is. And I give it 5 stars of this poem because it's a wonderful poem about a subject I really like. Good job, RJ Hatter.
Thanks, Wade. Yeah, every time I get that phrase matches in my head, that got to be laid down. Whisper the words you cannot say.
You did good on it
many times. Thanks, Wade.
Awesome comment, everyone. If you click on the next poem, I'll read that one for us.
Hidoki.
Okay.
And.
Oops, got it.
Got it.
All right. This is called She's Facing Death by Chris O2. Here we go. She's looking death in the face and telling her maker to go to hell. Love is what she fought for her whole life. But as the fog clouds her mind, she drifts to a deep sleep and soon realizes she looked herself in the mirror. You're playing a game with life, but soon will it look exactly like a knife? As your blood flows to your heart, you too will depart. As her eyes go gray and the life drains from her body, she smiles, knowing she too were bloody, just like her maker. Not that anyone would have been a taker. End poem. Pretty cool. I think this is Chris's first time on my show. Thanks for participating, Chris. Appreciate it. And I like you're playing a game with life, but soon will it look like exactly like a knife as your blood flows to your heart, you too will depart. It's a very vicious stanza there in the middle, like, you know, do what you want, but you're playing a game and you're about to lose as you get stabbed in the heart. Like, wow, vicious little brevity there. It's got traces of Halloween and nature and stuff, but it's just so sad, you know, she's facing death and, like I said, you're about to meet your maker and there's not much you can do about it. Thank you, Chris. It was my honor to be your reader, and I appreciate you for participating. Hatter, what you think?
You know, I love the way she started it. I've never heard it put that way, but I guess it is to meet your maker. But it's usually the reaper you tell her to go to hell, but telling her maker to go to hell, that seems different the way that was laid down. That was really good. But as the fog clouds her mind, she drifts to deep sleep. Where's the way she smiles? She smiles knowing she too were bloody, just like her maker. So she took him out too, huh? Very good.
Great comments. And Wayne?
Well, I said, this is a sad poem. I keep telling people not to look in the mirror because all they'll see is evil. And I wouldn't go around pissing off the man above. He knows what he's doing because he's just like her maker, if I may quote the author. This is a sad but wonderful poem for Halloween. She did a good job on this, and had to have her point on portrait board. Good job.
Awesome. And before I get the next comment, this just might be little Gary. Hello, Gary,
ma'am.
903.
Yes, ma'am. That's what my mama calls me, but I don't.
Little Gary.
Hey.
Wow.
How are y'all?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. If I was in a dress, I'd do a curtsy.
And I'm just about to get one last comment for Chris. David, will you comment for Chris before you read your poem, please?
Sure. You know, this was a, when I started listening to you read this thing, Deb, I thought, boy, this has got a kind of an odd slant to it, but I like it, you know, and, you know, it's not something that I could write like that. She has a definite style to her writing, and that's good. I think that's really good. And, you know, I look forward to reading more of her stuff because I think, I think she's going to evolve like we all do, you know, on All Poetry. And it always seems to be for the better. So this was a great poem, and I liked it. It had an interesting storyline to it, and it was scary, and it was sad, too. The last stanza, the last two, first two lines of the last stanza set it up that way. But, you know, it's like you said, when that time comes, there's no stopping it. You know, it's just, you know, that tiger of entropy is on you and you can't get him off. And so, you know, you just got to surrender to it. So anyhow, it was a good poem. I liked it. It was fun. I'm glad she's with us.
Great comment. And okay, now this I've been looking forward to because this is a picture I stumbled across and it screamed for me to send it to David. So I'll wait to see what he did with it. So on that note, take us away, sir.
Okay. Well, I got to looking at this thing a little bit, and this woman has light-colored eyebrows and light eyelashes and stuff. She almost looks like she might be an albino, and my first title for this was Albino in Gold, and then I changed it because I put a soundtrack in at the bottom end of it. So anyway, it's called Devil's Ghost in Gold. Beyond beautiful human comprehension, she rises, rising within the vacuum of space. She's the product of virtual particles and the Dark Mother's thaumaturgy, just to see if she can pull it off. Sure she did. Queen of the universe, after all. She spins the notes of neutron stars in bass and treble clef in 4/4 time, which fall silent within the vacuum of the cosmos space. No one can hear her sing, or no one's face sculpted by supernova remnants, auric highlights in bronze and neutronium. She's harder than nails, harder than diamonds. Nothing can touch her heart. She's what powers neutron stars, winds the mainspring of pulsars, these cosmic timekeepers, accurate beyond all measure. Questions she asks. She is the heart and soul of these stars, dressed in a gown of neutron flux. She bends the wells of space-time from the Dark Mother to the bottom of the universe, to the bottom of a universal sea, where the wrecks of sunken yesterdays lie buried by shipwrecks of entropy, gazing up with sightless eyes those forgotten figureheads that she tries to answer. Her eyes glow in red hydrogen alpha in 657 nanometers. Her gaze sweeps past you with the synchronicity of pulsars as she studies you with a soft glow. If she likes what she sees inside of you, can be switched to laser intensity powered by gravitational fields of impossible densities, or will kill you as surely as tomorrow comes. Would end you with just a glance. This epitaph chiseled on the tombstones of those non-believers who run their mouths reckless, who got too close to her space-time curvature, those who pay the Dark Mother with no respect or disbelieve in God, whose very existence is dissonant within the house of the Dark Mother. David, my man, is Neutronia, not beautiful, beyond even my tongue, for I begat her from the heart of dead stars. Take care around her, my man, for she is oft times unstable, a failing on my part. I so wanted a daughter in my haste for this. I created a beautiful monster. I love you, my queen. I know you do, my man. End poem.
A daughter. Ooh-hoo-hoo. Wow. I created a beautiful monster. What an approach. I know when you first looked at it, you weren't sure if you were going to go with somebody else or go with the Dark Mother. And I like how she's there. We know it's, you know, part of the Dark Mother saga, but she is the heart and soul of these stars, dressed in the gown of neutron flux. She bends and wells of bends the wells of space-time. But I like that twist there, that it's the daughter. And I like the question, is Neutronia not beautiful beyond even my tongue? For I begot her from the heart of the dead stars. And you know, it's a shame sometimes when you create things. It's got like a, that's what it brought me to mind of, like a Frankenstein sort of thing, because,
yeah,
you know, here we brought to life, but for the most part, people perceive him to be vicious and evil, and in my opinion, he's misunderstood, you know, because, like, all he wanted to do, he didn't ask to be sewn together and zapped to life, and all he wanted was a friend, and he wound up not, you know, he wound up being hunted, and so, it's that instability that comes to mind, especially when you said that, you know, and a failing on my part. I so wanted a daughter in my haste for this. And that part just seems so sad, and it plays to your own emotions, because more than once you have, you know, mentioned how much you would like to have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, as usual, there's always a little bit of yourself in the poems, and I like that because it gives it more of a realistic feel. Great job with that photo. Great job. I like where you took it.
Thank you, Deb.
On a side note, it's official. Hatter just kicked my butt, so I can turn the button off now because I
don't. Half a point. The half a point.
Yeah. Now you'll probably get a few more in the rest of this quarter. But what you think of Day's poem?
He begitten and begatten. I like the way he put that, for I begat. I begat her. That's an old term.
Yeah, it is.
The sing. I'm surprised you didn't put the, she's a singularity. What was the neutron flux? Dresses again, a neutron flux. She bends well in space time. Yeah, I like the way you. Here it is. She's what powers neutron stars. Winds the mainsprings of pulsars. Very, very good. I love the way you intertwine that space time stuff in there. I get it. Very good.
Thank you.
Awesome.
You're
comment.
Welcome.
And hello, sweet.
Hello. How is everyone?
I'm all right, hon. Just getting some comments for Dave, and I forgot that I picked you up and I didn't say anything, so I'm sorry about that. And
okay.
Wayne, what you think?
Well, I said, when you read the Dark Mother's Thought of Mercury, Thought of Mercury, whatever it means, Thought of Mercury, I almost fainted. I once had a Thought of Mercury, but it got away. I think the Dark Mother has taken you and brainwashed your brain, Dave. You're so flattery. He said so much about non-believers when he said, "Saints, space-time culture for those who pay the Dark Mother no respect or disbelieve in God." And then to quote her, "I'd be careful and take care around her, man, for she is oftentimes unstable." I know she's the daughter, but the daughter is just like the mother. Better be careful; she gets you one of these days and turns into a bowl of soup. Good poem. Good job with the poem.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And what do you think, Gary?
I am so glad you asked me. You know, I did something that's really cool because there were so many cool pictures that you had for the show. So what I did was I didn't know what the picture was, and I just sat here and I closed my eyes and I listened, and I got about maybe three-quarters of the way, and I had to go look at the picture, and it was so cool that what I was picturing as I was listening to it, this big glowing, like, entity and all it is, and it was so awesome and on point, man. Like, I ain't going to sit and lie and say I understand all the poetry because I don't, but I think it's all cool in every kind of way. And so, but it was so smart and I understood it. Maybe I'm starting to translate now. I'm speaking poetry because I freaking felt it, man, and I seen it. And when I went to the picture, it was awesome, man. You ought to try that sometime. It was awesome, man. Good job, man. Right on point, man. I seen that same chick in my head. She's awesome. Kick ass.
Thank you, Gary.
Awesome comment.
You're welcome. I'm going to waive the $5 fee for the comment tonight, man, because it was so awesome. Thank you so much for letting me hear it.
$5 fee. Wouldn't that be nice? Sweet, before you read, can you comment for Dave?
Absolutely. David, this is spectacular. I can't believe the Dark Mother has a daughter. Even if she is a little Frankensteinish, she has a daughter. I'm so excited. And how beautiful can she be? I mean, the Dark Mother never does anything by mistake. And I don't care if she thinks this one is flawed. This is going to be a beautiful relationship. I know that whatever magic you put into her, that it's going to be beautiful. But I'm going to warn you that mothers and daughters can become very jealous. So be careful with, I know the Dark Mother's telling you to take care of her, but beware of that. I'm worried that if you pay just a little bit too much attention, either daughter or mother may have issues. So I can see some, animosity poems coming a little bit. So watch that jealousy in between there, because you might have created something that may cause problems in the future. So I'm looking forward to that. Just a little. But
I'll see about that. Thank you, sweet.
This is fabulous.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, my sweet. Yours is up there.
Okay. This is Halloween Nightmares. Trick or treat, I ask, and all have been compliant. Gracious and kind, I left behind the potions of evil wishes. A child of Halloween, swinging my candy basket behind me. Trick or treat, I am the freak in the nightmare that harms you. The whisper in your ear that makes you fear darkness beyond us. Trick or treat, feel the heat of my breath upon your neck, triggering your flesh to rise, leading to paranoia. Now paralyzed, I control your mind, and the world is mine. Come, my children, walk with me through the field of Halloween. Let the witches and the devils take your hands as you pass the light into the darkness of kindness. A land of lies where clowns scream and you are the fly to the spider. Where puppies bite and kittens scratch and birds peck out your eyes. And schools spank you for all your naughty offenses. Do not cry, your buckets are full of candy. Now sit and eat, for there will be no more treats until you're released from your daddy's silly nightmare and the poems.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, for starters, though unintentional, the background, who's crying? Which puppy is that? Because, they're breaking my heart.
That's Remington, because he was put in his kennel because it's, time for him to be quieting down, but I happen to be in the room, and so he's mad that he's not outside of his kennel to be sitting by me.
Ah, well, when you, it was just like perfect, when you got to do not cry, your buckets are full of candy, right in between that you said do not cry, and then he did a little bit louder, and I was like, oh my God, he's killing me. That was so cute, sweet. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take away from the poem, but I was just taken
That's
by
that.
That's
fine. It's not named Amadeus. It's going to be Remington now.
Now, when you give them a treat, do you call it a treat? The reason I ask is because I call it candy.
Yes.
You're saying trick or trick, and we were okay, and then you got to trick or treat, and it seemed like that word set him off. And I'm like, oh, he wants a treat.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm a freak in the nightmare that harms you, the whisper in your ear that makes you fear darkness beyond us. That's like a foreboding section. And then you do the both trick or treat. Feel the heat of my breath upon your neck. Trigger your flesh to rise, leading to paranoia. Now paralyzed, I control your mind and the world is mine. And like, yeah, that breath on your neck, it would trigger those. It would trigger like paranoia, like, you know, you turn, you know, man, your details here were so, so wicked. Come, my children, walk with me through the field of Halloween. I don't know. It's like, even though there's no corn stalks, it's like you see that fog and darkness, and I'm not coming. I'm going to run home. Let the witches and devils take your hands. Nope, 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 nope. Pass the light into the darkness of kindness. And there's such a complex feel from the light into the darkness of kindness, because you don't try to affiliate darkness and kindness in the same breath. And it's just like, whoa. And it makes you stop for a minute there. And a land of lies where clowns scream and you are the fly to the spider. I love
no.
that. Clowns scream and you are the fly to a spider. And I just realized that I'm practically stealing all the words. So I'm going to shut up and I'm going to let someone else have a turn. And I'm going to say, wow. Hatter, what you think?
Thank you. Trick or treat. Sweets my freak. My nightmare. My sweets. Yeah, this is fun. yeah, trick or treat. I am the freak. Okay. I had to pause and take right there. Yeah, this was fun. This was you were dancing around the darkness, but this was really good. You got crying
Thank
in buckets for full of candy. Yeah, there's no crying on Halloween. You got road rash
right.
and everything. Long as your candy, your bucket's full, you're good.
That's right.
So,
cool
yeah,
comment.
Yeah, awesome.
And Wayne?
Yeah, I said, so the humor has been breathing my neck. No wonder I'm paranoid. Oh, no, you didn't inform me with a touch of incest, I hope. This was one scary poem. I like the line, Elaine lies with clown scream, and you are a fly to a spider. So I'm the fly to the spider. And then you went on and said, where puppies bite, kittens scratch, and birds peek out your eyes. You had to bring the pets into this nightmare, didn't you? How dare you? This ain't nothing sacred in your life. Great job with this, sweet. I love this poem.
Aw, thank you, Wayne.
David, what do you think?
Oh, man. Maybe I'm the only one here, but I thought this poem was sensual. And perhaps that's the reason. I think that because the way Pam reads, I mean, she's one of those most sensual women I've ever had the pleasure of listening to. And, but it just hit me that way. I don't know why. I also had visions of caramel apples and pumpkins and all the good stuff that goes along with Halloween, you know, and I like this. The fourth stanza, the last line of fourth stanza, pass the light into the darkness of kindness. I really like that juxtaposition that you put those two words in. It's a interesting comparison or an interesting sort of a dichotomy or an interesting comparison. And we don't normally think put those two together, but I think there can be a kindness in the darkness. You know, I always feel that way when I turn out my lights before I go to bed. I like the feeling of the darkness around me. I also like the first line in the next stanza down, a land of lies where clowns scream and you are the flight of the spider, where puppies bite and kittens scratch and birds peck out your eyes. I had a pet raven for a while, and I used to let him run around the unfinished part of the house, and I got to wondering where he was, And my mother kept a bunch of my sister's old dolls. And so I called him Edgar, naturally. And I said, Edgar, where are you? You know, and he looked up at me, and he was down on the floor, and he looked up at me, and I walked down there to see what he was doing. And he had one of my sister's dolls, and he had one of his feet standing on this doll's chest, and he was pecking the eyes of it, you know.
It was the time to get rid of Edgar for me.
What's that?
It would be time for me to get rid of Edgar. If your bird is pecking out the doll's eyes, that would be the last day Edgar would live with me, just FYI.
he was a real easygoing bird, actually. He was really a pleasure to be around. He'd fly over and land on your shoulder, and he used to like to land on my shoulder, and then I'd see this big black beak come over, and he would grab the corner of my mustache and just tug on it just a little bit, not hard, but he would just play around with the edge of my mustache. Anyway, I like this poem. It was really, really cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
A great comment. And Gary, what do you think?
I loved it. It was awesome. You know what it made me think of? John Carpenter's The Fog. Remember old Stevie, whatever her name was, it was up in that tower, and her voice and the way it did. And just the spookiness of it and that sound, I felt like the fog was coming in, man. It was awesome. I was in Antonio Bay for a second. It was beautifully written and read. Like, you know, sometimes two things together makes it just over the top, and that's what it did for me. Like, I wanted to read any story to me. Just do it in that voice.
Thank you, Gary.
It was unbelievable. Thank you. I'm going to go back and listen to it again, if it's okay with everybody, later on.
Thank you.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
No, thank you.
Sweet, do you want to push your show before I do Stephen's poll?
Sure, my show is Thursday night. It is Great Words of the Past. Like, you know, I've been trying to do this show now for 3 times, so we are definitely going to do it Thursday night. The old words that I want to bring back, there is a list of them. Trumping is one of my favorite, back in the 1700s, when you thought something was valuable, kind of like snake oil, went around, you know, saying this is so precious and it's of high value, and it absolutely was nothing but a piece of junk. It was called trumping, and I'm not making that up. You know, good old trumpering. There's a couple other words on there that are great. So I have a list of those words and websites you can go to that have other words if you choose to use those. Please feel free to do that. But let's look at some old language that should actually be used today that we got rid of that I don't think we should have. So enjoy that. Let's bring it in. I think it'd be fun.
I remember.
Sounds like fun. Looking forward to it. And, okay, I have a recording from Stephen. If you guys click on it, I'll push play.
Who's Pam? Got it.
Hello, AP. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dip. How are you?
I am good. How about you?
Did he lose his voice?
Yeah, good. Good.
If you, I'm about to push play for Stephen. If you want to put your link on the board, I'll put yours up right after that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Awesome. Here we go.
R2-D2.
Leisurely Drive Home by Stephen 76. Driving home from Son's house very late at night. This old country road has absolutely no street lights. But I've driven it so much that this is no bother. I know it so well, like I know my own brother. A lot of S turns ahead, they used to be a big deal. Now I take them just fast enough to hear my tires squeal. Speed around the first, exhilarating it can be. pretend I'm in NASCAR, though I never wanted to be. Come around the second, an unpleasant surprise. A woman in the middle of the street, I can't believe my eyes. No time to break, she's literally right there. With the movement unnatural, her head turns and stares. Although this happened so fast, I see every detail. The horrific look on her face, her skin so very pale. The eyes are open wide, and so is her mouth. She really should be screaming, but no sound's coming out. The dress she is wearing, all tattered and white. Her hair long and tangled, this vision's fright. But when I finally hit her, I feel nothing at all. Not a bump nor a sound, at least none I recall. Stop the car and take a deep breath. Perhaps it wasn't real. Let my tensed hands fall into my lap, the anxiety I feel. And I look in the rearview mirror to see if she's still in the street. Oh my God, she's in my back seat. End poem.
Oh, how
I remember.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to say, he did say this was one of your favorites, Hatter. And like, yeah, you know what makes it even spookier? It was is the fact that when he talked about it, he said that it was inspired by a road that they take to go with their son. And like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. And that ending there, oh my God, she's in my back seat. Talk about, I mean, creepy. But all those details, like, where's that, what, speed around the first, exhilarating it can be, pretend I'm in NASCAR. Thought I never wanted to, though I never wanted to be. And, you know, you're just cruising all along and, you know, come around the second, an unpleasant surprise, a woman in the middle of the street, I can't believe my eyes. But, like, he takes us on and on. The eyes are wide open, and so is her mouth. She really should be screaming, but no sound is coming out. And that silent scream is really creepy for me. It's one of those things that get me because okay. I've said it before, but when I have bad dreams and I scream, nothing happens. And that's just a horrifying thought to need somebody to help you and you can't get this scream out. So the details here are really, really cool. But
You know that Twilight Zone?
Yeah, like I said,
the Twilight Zone with William Shatner? With William Shatner?
Uh-huh.
He sees the monster on the plane wing. He draws the curtain, and then he pulls it back.
Yeah.
That's what you got to have in your head, because I remember when he did this on a Halloween 4 years ago. No, in April. It was in April. Okay. But I remember this very well because it freaked me out at the time. I wasn't prepared for the ending. And what it did, all I saw was that monster on that creature on the that Twilight Zone with William Shatner. Anyway, I remember. In comment.
Yeah, well, like I said, when he put it on the board, he said it's one of Hatter's favorites, so I knew you would get a kick out of it. And I see that it's got a couple of awards on it, too. and it's from his Tylenol PM collection, which really cracks me up. But a great, great poem. Thank you, Stephen. And Sweet, what you think?
Oh, this is absolutely one of my favorite classics from Stephen. I mean, top-notch classic. It's got everything. It's got suspense. It's got horror. It's got, you know, you build it up and you build it up. It's got everything. And I've got to say, one of my favorite comments that is in there about the poem is Kay's, who's in that back seat? Well, I'll tell you what, the next time her demonic ass is going to be kicked out. So I love that comment from his wife, and it's just one of my favorite pieces, too. It's just so perfect for how Halloween pieces are just a horror piece in general.
Did you hear the brakes squeaking or screeching?
Yes.
I wonder how he got Kay to drive by that right then and do that. Great sound effect.
It probably was me.
Oh. Awesome comment. David, what do you think?
You know, when this was when our poem started, I thought, this sure has a familiar ring to it. And I see it has a 2019 date on it. So I guess all of us that have been around on the site for a while has heard this before. It's a really good poem. I really liked it the first time I heard it. And I have to agree with whatever I said about Kay's comments on it. It's funny. Stephen has a really unique sense of humor, and he blends it into his poetry really well most of the time. And he's a good storyteller, too. And I thought this was a really fun poem. It was scary and spooky. It seems to me like I saw something in a movie one time about somebody running into a phantom like this, and they didn't feel anything with it. But anyhow, it's a good poem. It really was. And so I'm telling Stephen all over again, well done.
Awesome comment. And Wayne?
It's you. I heard this poem back 4 years ago, too. I thought it was a great poem then, and my head was probably in the gutter, but I brought up she said my kid's hands fell into my lap, and anxiety I feel. I thought that was kind of played on that last time, because it didn't sound right that he put his hands left to fell in anxiety, but I thought it was pretty wild. But I said the poem has a lot of humor in it. I like it a whole lot. Don't try that again. Good job, Stephen.
Cool comment. And Gary?
Well, from 176 to another 76, I tell you, he must have been born before me because this was great. I guarantee you. The picture and the freaking that, I would be out of the car. I'm gone. It was awesome, as always. He's one of the better people in poetry in my world, not because he's 76, though. But it was awesome. It was great. And just the structure of it, and it was really spooky. And I love the ending. It was great.
Awesome comment. And AP, can you comment and then read yours for us?
Yes. Look, wonderful, wonderful poem. Great rhyme, great flow. Love the detail of the S turns and the speeding and how you always get faster on roads, you know, and when something pops out of nowhere and surprises the hell out of him. And he does it really, really well. It's a great poem.
So it's your turn to show us what you got.
This is Once a Sheet. It goes a little bit like this. A pale sheet has taken station at the far reaches of a bed, with its filmy disposition and lightness of thread. Sits awaiting the darkness at the closing of a day, someone soon enclosed within their dreams hid away, but instead of vague stutter and the fine etching of holes, the sheet is moving as currents within shallower shoals. While those etches, black circles, have formed a dull face, the rest of the sheet is gathered, there a figure trace. For a wandering spirit has taken these threads as their home, and so goes the corridors, haunting with a sickening groan, reminding all of the short life that this figure passed trace, calling others to join within that same darkest embrace. End poem.
Wow, look at that ending. Reminding all of the short life that this figure passed trace, calling others to join within the same darkness embrace. I like the sickening groan, too. I think that's my favorite stanza, the whole last one. For a wandering spirit has taken these threads as their home, and so goes the corridors, haunting with a sickening groan. I like that. But your first sentence there, a pale sheet has taken station at her far reaches of her bed. And the thought of that is, like, horrifying. You look up and you see that at the foot of your bed, and you could practically feel like you would be jumping through the wall to get away from it. My word. And in the middle, the sheet is moving as currents with shallow shoals with those etches, black circles, have formed a dull face, and it's just like really creepy. I think you were saying a bit earlier that, you know, you don't do the darkness, but I think that you're getting better and better with it all the time. And like I said, if I looked up and opened my eyes and saw that, they'd be peeling me off the plaster because, like, wow. Creepy thought altogether. Cool brevity.
Thank you, Deb.
Sweet, what you think?
Thank you.
I think AP Darkness is been sitting somewhere on the edge, and he's jumped off of it. The last few poems he has done have been quite edgy and dark. And this one, I'm very impressed. Not only am I impressed, this is going on my list of favorites, because this is downright out. Not only, it's not frightening, it's brilliant. It's something that engulfs you and takes you into it, because it's almost empathetic, like this person, this wandering spirit has found a place where it has to stay because there's something there. You feel empathetic towards it, and it's calling others to join them because it's embracing this darkness for some strange reason. And it needs others to feel whole or feel less lonely. So I'm there with it. Very well done, AP.
Thank you, Sway.
You know, I like the first stanza because it sort of introduces the whole situation there. You know, this is always, this storyline in this poem always reminds me of how ghosts are perceived. You know, they're a kind of a diaphanous, sort of a tenuous entity that just comes and goes and dissolves as it goes through walls and windows and whatnot. And I think AP did a really good job in setting that up. It speaks to the image really well, and you know, it's the metaphors and the adjectives in it are really, really well chosen, and it, like most of AP's work, it's brilliant and it's really well done. It's well thought out, and I like stuff like this. I appreciate his efforts in his poetry.
Thank you very much, Doug. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Mr. Jed?
Yes. I think the ghost needs a 1,200 count 30. It'd be like moving to an upscale condo for it. Nothing's worse than a gathered sheet. I'd use some snuggles on the dryer sheet for that. And no, no kidding. This is a wonderful poem. Ghost through with the poem. And I have to go. I have to go now because the ghost has called me to join them. Let go. I don't want to go. Let me go. Bye.
Thank you, Wyatt.
Awesome comment. And Gary.
Did you say Gary or Barry?
Gary.
I'll go for both of us. We both agree that as it was read, man, I closed my eyes and I did, and it made it not have nothing to do with what I seen. It is, so y'all don't hold nothing back. But I had my eyes closed and I seen this room and a ghost coming in the curtain, and it was just like there was an ocean, and it took me there, and that was a good place, man. And I want to go back. I loved it. I thought it was awesome, creepy, and mystic. Like it felt mystic to me. You know what I mean? Like I was in the zone.
Yeah.
I was kicking back. I almost put my feet up. I loved it. It was awesome.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
Great comments, everyone. And AP, how long are you staying? You have to go?
About half.
I probably do. Hatter,
I'm sorry.
I would definitely wait to hear little Gary's poem. He better wait and hear mine, or he's just going to miss it.
No, well, I'll wait on for yours, little Gary.
Okay, let me get a comment from Hatter, and then we'll have Gary B. Sorry, Hatter. That's what you get for kicking my butt, just saying.
Okay. Touche. Yeah, I saw that picture, too. I almost wrote to it, but, you know, they say in reality, right before you see a ghost, there's a calming. It's what frightens you is what you think of either before or after the event, not during the event.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. You're going to be scared to death. Yeah, don't see a ghost.
I think I'm sort of getting, I'm finding it, Hatter. I mean, you know me.
Yeah.
I've always struggled with the darker stuff, but the more I sort of lay back and let the words go, the better it gets.
There you go. Now the way you write, it's all good, man. This is you. I remember the old Vincent Price movies where he narrates.
Yeah.
Pit the pendulum. That's what I hear when you read it. So yeah, you can touch on the darkest. You can get there.
Thank you.
It's just it's the Jack the Ripper type stuff that get by. Nice job, AP.
Thank you, Hatter. And I have to say, because it's been a few weeks, but it does look like I'm going to beat Joy in the football, and that is a big deal, given where I've been.
Oh, cool. I hadn't checked. I got spanked. At least one of us won.
Yeah. So, you know, any time you beat Joy, you think, okay, you've done a wonderful job. Tick. Next. You know.
I beat Hatter. I beat Wayne. I beat... Never mind. I'll be quiet now.
No, you've done really well, sweet. You've been kicking butt left, right, and center, including mine.
I know. I beat Wayne. I didn't
told her, AP, that you called her running back a machine.
I love McCaffrey.
I
he was the
he
player
is.
I wanted. I know.
He is. He is a machine. He's crazy.
I love
him. He's just, you know.
I love his daddy, though. To be honest with you, I loved his daddy, so I had to pick him.
Yeah.
You know,
the sad
thing is he runs so hard and so recklessly. It's hard to think he's going to do that for a lot of years. I'm sorry to say that because I love the Niners. He's a great player. But he's just so reckless and abandoned that just hope that he stays healthy.
But I have to say that Hatter finally taught me something. So now I actually was able to change players last week and this week. So I have to give all my love to Hatter.
There
you're welcome.
There you go.
I saw that.
Good thing.
I saw that. That Mayfield got you. Yeah, nice pick.
Thank you.
Anyways, I'm going to shut up and have our fantasy football and let Gary actually read a poem since we're on a poetry show. You know.
That's
awesome. Gary, show us what you brought.
All right. It's a Bad Dream by Little Gary. Well, I'm back to hoping, wishing, struggling, dreaming, and writing again. Times are real hard, so I'm getting real thin. Calling myself a winner, although I never seem to be able to win. Hoping y'all are ready for some more Little Gary and his new bar pen. All you got to do is read, hold on real tight, and let's begin. Sitting all alone has got me feeling real low. And the love for me has gotten so cold that I think it's starting to snow. Just another day in the life on the damn Little Gary show. The man with good blue eyes from East Texas that can't see where in the hell he should go. My heart is so torn that I need to learn how to sew. And I bet you can tell it by the look on my face as you're saying hello. Hell, I'm 6'3" tall and still trying to grow. Feeling more out of place in this world than the UFDMO. But lately the news is making me feel like, hell, I really don't know. I wonder if these are some of the things that he felt. Shout out to Poe. The poet that quotes the damn raven while Little Gary's quoting the damn crow. Hoping people will come with me just like they was Bilbo on this grand adventure called life where we'll pretend this trailer house is really a beautiful chateau. If you can feel my bad dream, congratulations, keep your head up. I'm so sorry, bravo, bravo. Maybe this is a bad dream, or at least that's what I believe. Because how could a love be a gift that I never received? How could she pack all of her stuff and just leave? How could I be down in our front yard right now on both of my knees? yelling at the sky, will someone help my ass, please? Or even be a man that's wondering, why does this kind of stuff always happen to me? It's like I'm stuck in a bad dream, y'all, and I can't go to sleep. End point.
Fantastic read, Gary. Yeah. Wow. I could actually see you out in that front yard down on your knees, like, you know, wake me up
hey,
type
Deb.
Of thing.
Hey, Deb.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember Rhyma?
Uh-huh.
Rhyma. You had the little Wayne and Rhyma, you begat little Gary.
You think so?
Oh, thank you. I'll take it. I'll be whoever's baby that's got more money than me. I'll be your baby. I'll be little baby Lee. I don't know how.
Okay.
I got published. I signed a contract a weekend for like 3-book deal out of people out of Colorado, man. They said they love the simplicity and the heartfelt of my work. I told them because I ain't got no education. It's real simple. I'm just writing how I feel in a rhyme, you know. It's real stuff. It's all I know. If I pretended, it wouldn't make no sense because I wouldn't know what the hell I was talking about.
A UF demo.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, yeah. Feeling more out of place in this world than a UF demo. I think that's the first time I've seen it with an expletive. I can't speak tonight. In between. And on our grand adventure called Life, where we'll pretend his trailer house is really a beautiful chateau. And if you can feel my bad dream, congratulations. Keep your head up. I'm so sorry. Bravo, bravo. You know, it was sad, but a couple of the different spots like that bravo, bravo made me giggle. And I guess, you know, you just said it's simplistic, but those little nuances are what makes it real. And writing real is not an easy thing. So, you know, congratulations on the book deal. Very cool poem. I'm glad you went and dug it up. And I'm glad you're back and participating, and I hope you keep doing so. Really fun poem.
Oh, yes, ma'am. There's nobody here left to tell me no. my house is haunted. Remember that one? Yeah. It's real.
Let me let AP comment because he has to go.
Look, that was great fun, Gary. I loved how you started small and you got big all of a sudden, you know. It just sort of popped, and it's a great read, and terrific rhyme, and even better assonance and rhythm, and really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you, man. It's like making love to my woman. I just build and build, you know. That's how it goes, man. It's life. We build
you got
and build, and hope we go to the top.
You got
that's
it
what's up. Yes, sir. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you staying
and
listening,
well,
man. Because
well.
With your accent, you're probably
no,
got
very well done.
A lot going on over there. Wherever. So appreciate it, man. Tell everybody hi.
Thank you. And thanks, everybody. Thanks, Deb. And we will talk very soon.
All righty.
Yeah.
Thanks for
calling. Okay. Thank you. Talk soon.
And Wayne, I see you dialed back. Can you comment for Gary?
Oh, man, I hope he comes back. I'd love to hear it.
Something happened. He was there, but his call just dropped. But he did call and listen, just so you know. He must be having trouble with his phone. My sweet, what you think?
It's little Gary. I don't see him, you know, not being little Gary. Fantastic, Fantasia-like. Just fulfilling, you know, you leave me speechless so many times. It's very difficult to leave Sweet Pea speechless. Your rhyme is perfection. Your message is meaningful. Your attitude is affectionate. And I could listen to you talk for hours. So I do want to know where in Colorado you made that book deal, though. I'm going to have to walk myself down there and talk to them myself. Or if you're ever coming out to Colorado, we have to get together for coffee. So if you got to sign some papers, you know, call me. It would be a blast. So congratulations. I just wish the most success for you ever.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm supposed to make like 100% off the first book and everything, but then we split it after that. So I just hope it gets past the people. But he said so far they love it. You know, I guess they're all idiots. I like people. I'm kidding.
Well, but, the air is a lot thinner up here, so you never know what you can get away with.
I would have coffee with you anytime. Thank you for that. I wish my mama could have heard that, what you said. It makes me feel good. If somebody paid y'all to do that, I appreciate them. Man, what a comment. I mean, I could mess myself right now. Great. Thank you. Thank you for so much for listening and everything. All y'all. Y'all are all awesome. I wish I was here. I'd kiss you all right now and make you a drink.
Interesting. And David.
Consensual, I mean.
Oh, I like this. It takes a special kind of talent to express yourself this way, the way Gary does. I've always liked his poetry. I'm glad he's back. And this is an interesting storyline in this poem. It's real. Real down to earth and earthy, and I like and. Good poem.
Great comment.
Thank you
very much. Okay, guys, we have two poems left. We have one by Jenny the Deep, and then we have Phil the Poet. So if you click on Jenny, I'll read for her. Wayne had to go again, but he put on the chat wall another classic by Little Gary. Great to hear your poetry again. So everybody's glad that you're back, Gary.
Awesome. I love shit out of Wayne. I mean, the mess out of Wayne. He's awesome. He's an awesome poet. It's cool. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Sure is. And I'm sure that whoever's stopping to visit is helping him celebrate his 70th birthday. And again, it was last night, but he's celebrating it all week. So keep on celebrating, Wayne. Happy, happy birthday. Okay, this is called
so
The Murderer.
That 69 was gone.
This is called The Murderous Son by Jenny the Deep. And here we go. Mad, like the Mad Hatter at his deceased father, over money and power, he killed his in-law of a brother. One pull of the trigger off his gun begins his fentanyl-induced horrific fun. In their dad's will, all was given to another. Couldn't handle that fact. He became bothered. With his weakening sister in the hospital, his thinking turned detrimental. His brother-in-law survived the shooting, so he burnt him alive after losing his footing. All that was left was a foot and some bones. Still, the jealous brother in his story had holes. Drawing attention, letting the fire burn. Now in two graves, a father and a husband turn. As the murderous son rots in a cold prison cell, he will spend living in a self-made hell. End poem. And I'm just noticing that she based this on an actual event that is from a story in Vancouver, where he burnt the brother-in-law, the things people will do for money. I mean, I often say that, you know, the vultures come out when somebody passes away, especially if that person had money. But, like, this is beyond what I meant. I mean, I've seen them go into the house and get some of the more valuable stuff out before anybody has a chance to go and sort through it. And I've seen a lot of dirty tricks and a lot of, you know, crocodile tears, but burning people alive and stuff, man, oh, man. And then to find out, you know, that it's true adds to the oh, my goodness of it. And I like how she paired it with the zombie Mad Hatter there. Vicious, right? And I see she won an award for it, too. Really cool share, Jenny. And as always, it was my honor to be your reader. Wicked poem. Sweet, what you think? Oops, she had to go. Dave, what you think?
I was in power failure right in the middle of that. So I was trying to get things going around here. I'll have to pass on a comment on it. I'm sorry.
No problem. No problem. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, it read really personal. And then I did see the footnotes down there. Yeah, this is a true event. Yeah, usually that's a life insurance policy with when they go like that. But how about Eric and Lyle Menendez for that?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about them. Those brothers that, they killed their own parents for the money, right? So, yeah, some vicious stuff that people do for money, that's for sure.
Yeah. And that Gloria Allred got all the money.
Yeah, some wicked stuff. My goodness. Yep. It's like you never know about someone until you find out that kind of stuff. And then everybody's always like, I would have never thought he didn't seem like that kind of person. Well, somewhere inside, a lot of people have stuff that they hide from us, and then it pops out and, you know, is what it is. Horrible, horrible. But you did a great job with the poem. All right, now, if you click on the link for Phil's, we will do his because he's got the last poem of the night, and we will listen to his recording. And looking forward to seeing what he brought for us here. So you guys ready?
Try to get there. Yep. Got it.
All right. You all set, Dave?
Almost. you go ahead and start. Yeah, you go ahead and start.
All right, David, then here we go. Here comes Phil the Poet.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Curse of the Flaming Skull. A mandible smile flickering through the flames, sockets wide open to welcome the soul insane, a cranium dungeon for unwanted secret thoughts formed from electric sparks of epileptic warts. Flaming skull in hand, eyes pivoted to the heat. Melting bone falls to the floor in a 2-4 beat. Cauterized dreams dancing in translucent glow. The fire follows wherever the wind does blow. Raptured under the blood moon's sullen light, where the darkness kills thoughts with one bite. Memories become embers of a charcoaled paper. Every poem, sentence, word engulfed by vapor, turning to ashes from a funeral pyre long forgotten, smelling roasted marrow making this night so rotten. And the air is quite still tonight that the silence screams as the flames tickle the feet of all our dreams. The flame skull's laughter vibrates with sadness. For one who hears that sound is filled with madness. All there is left is an empty carcass devoid of animation in the final journey to a place called damnation. End poem.
Whoa. If you take a peek at the board while I comment, you see the art that he wrote too. But wow, a mandible smile flickering through the flames. Yeah, that's exactly what his art is for those who can't see the chat wall. It's a flaming skull there, socket wide open to welcome the soul insane. A cranium dungeon for unwanted secret thoughts formed from electric sparks of epileptic warts. And I'm so taken by that cranium dudgeon. What a great, great metaphor there. Raptured under the blood moon's sullen light where the darkness kills thoughts with one bite. Really, really creepy. And turning to ashes from a funeral pyre long forgotten, smelling roasted marrow, marking the night so rotten. And you know, usually when there's a fire and you think of things that are roasted, you think of marshmallows, but no, we have some roasted marrow here. So, like, really great, great wording. I mean, his details are really awesome. And the flaming skull's laughter vibrates with sadness for one who hears the sound is filled with madness. All that is left is an empty carcass devoid of animation in the final journey to a place called damnation. What a great, great poem. He really brought the darkness tonight. Awesome, awesome way to end the show. Goodness. What you think, Hatter?
You know, Phil, it's part the way he reads it, when reading his own stuff, but there's always something at the beginning of his poems that where I stop and I don't follow along because the line takes me somewhere, a poor way of saying that, but then I always play the catch up. But that's a tribute to his, how he writes it and reads it. A true poet, Phil. Nice job.
Great comment, Hatter. And Prophet, what you think?
I like this. It was creepy and scary. You know, it's Phil's got a. I agree with what Hatter said about the poem. He's got a foreboding way of reading. Sometimes doesn't really, you know, doesn't really grab onto you until he's about halfway through the poem. You know, Phil's work is always. Always good, you know, and he's a good storyteller too, and I really appreciate that about him. I like this poem a lot. I thought it was really well done.
It's a back music, background music. It'd be spooky.
What's that, Harry?
Some background music or something, some eerie music to this one, just to have some back, you know, something that's off to the background, like Wayne does. Never Let Us Down. Phil Poet is a true poet.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I keep going back to that that cranium dungeon. The wording was so original there.
You know, there was another one, Cauterized Dreams. Cauterized Dreams. That's a good one.
Yeah, he definitely, I mean, look at that image. I mean, if you take a peek at it, he really, really shot it right out of the park there. It's like, wow.
You know, he makes it seem like he could just sit down and just pours out of him. You know, it's just so clean. Cadence is always right. The rhyme's tight. But he probably struggles like the rest of us. But the way I look at it, like, he's just a natural poet. I learned from him. Teach me.
Good job, Phil.
Oh, epileptic
okay,
warts. Sparks of epileptic warts. Whoa. I mean, they're doing the dance. Oh, God. That's dark.
All right. Dark. How to read the other one.
Read the other one. What do you mean? Oh, mine? The other one up. Okay, Wishing for Alice. Got the picture. Everybody got it? goes like this. In a corner of thoughts, his story is told of things too dark he cannot see. Wishing for Alice to return, he waits no longer, for his concern is one that ends in what dreams can be. Holding to be what poets will see, turning from one to two to three or more times, as if it plans by those who can, then left outside to die. The darker the field, though that it's real, shiver the quivering thrusts, taking it back as this tries to relax. The curse is the worst of all things said, thinking it does because he lacks the love that's stuck inside his head. The one that will be buried on the hill, but returns to haunt and malice, never again to be written in poetry, the end of the one called Alice.
Well, that was kind of vicious. Poetry, the end of the one called Alice. It's a shame that Sweet didn't get to hear this one, because it sort of sounds like you just killed her off. And I don't know, she killed off Wayne yesterday and you killed her off today, and it's like, the darker the field, to know that it's real, shiver the quivering thrust. Using my word there.
Yes, I did. I was wondering if you were going to notice it. That was,
The shrill, well, of course I noticed it. It came out really, really cool.
Quiver is my word.
Now my word. What do you think, David?
Oh, I thought this was really cool. There again, it has that magical... cadence to it that Tatter's known for, and I like the storyline in it too. It was really creepy. I thought it was creepier than the first one you read, man. But yeah, well done, Hatter.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah,
thanks, Dave.
Very cool comment. And now, if you guys take a peek on the board, I put the link up for tomorrow's show. Tomorrow is the Halloween show on Off the Rack with Raconteur, and his topic is monsters. And so whatever your favorite monster is, pre-rights or otherwise, dust off your monster and add it to tomorrow's board. He goes live at 10 p.m., and it's his Monster Bash. So I'm looking forward to that. And I have mine. I got to put that on the list there. But it should be lots of fun. And hope to see you guys there. And on that note, I would like to, again, thank our sponsor, A.P. Taylor, who is also a board member for A Team of Voices, along with Sweet Pea and my big brother, Hatter. And I want to say thank you to Stephen and Angel and Chris and Wayne and Jenny and Phil and little Gary and, of course, Mr. David Prophet for another part of our continuing saga with the Dark Mother. Great show, you guys. It's such a privilege to get to hang out with you week after week. The poetry is always fantastic.
Like spending the night with you, too.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I like spending the night with you, too. It goes so fast.
But, yeah, it was a lot of great poetry. And, you know, sometimes you never know what somebody's going to bring. And we get the opposite of what we were expecting, get a little bit of giggles. We even get some heartfeltness, because I still can't get past the fact that you put the daughter in, Dave. That was really an interesting touch. I'm looking forward to hearing more about her, just as much as Sweet
is. Will.
So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, you got to mention how much better we've seen everybody evolve to good poets, right? I mean, not that they weren't to begin with, but you know, 8 years we've seen that a lot of us joined about the same time.
Yeah.
And just to see the, I mean, like Deborah, my.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding.
You can go on down the list in our group. How much better I think everybody. And I'll tell you what, because of them, I consider, I think mine's gotten a little better too. Easier done.
Yeah,
I think we all rub off on each other. And plus, it does make a big difference when you get to sit and read it with your peers, and then your peers give you feedback and let you know how much they enjoy it. It inspires you to keep on going and keep on writing, and I think that's one of the best parts of it, aside from getting to talk to people all over the world and hearing their voices. So,
yeah, how many countries are we in?
75 countries around the world listen to A Team of Voices Radio. How lucky are we?
Hey, Dave, can you name 75 countries?
What's that?
Can you name 75 countries off your head?
No. Uh-uh.
I couldn't do it. I don't think I could either. Are you close?
I know, right?
You're making stuff up. Estonia?
I'd be lucky to remember 10 off the top of my head. I mean, I do know a few more than normal because of
you look at the graph,
who calls and look them up and stuff,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I'd mostly be reading them off the list. So on that note, we're going to take one last moment to say thank you to everyone and to say that look forward to tomorrow for the Halloween show. And I'm going to take us out of here with Shine Down. Night, everyone.
Right.
Love and respect.
Thank you.
Thanks, Hatter. Thanks, David. Love and respect, everyone. Good night.
Yeah, buddy.
Good night.